This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The scrap economy in St. Louis is under scrutiny. Recycling companies at the center of this market are being fed by people who spend their days searching for pieces of metal and copper to sell. And in some neighborhoods, the growing scope of this trade is raising questions. In South St. Louis, one city official noted that bolts are being stolen from park benches. Wire from traffic signals is also being pinched. The situation is complicated. Many people living on the streets are surviving by selling scrap metal to companies like SA Recycling in the Patch neighborhood. That is legal. At the same time, it's clear that stolen metal is moving through this market. Last week, reporter Ryan Krull of St. Louis Magazine tried to get to the bottom of things, even going undercover. What he found raises more questions, and he's here to discuss them. Ryan, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Hey, Elaine. Thanks for having me. Happy to talk about this.
All right, so let's start with a definition. What is scrap, and what's the difference between scrap and junk?
Oh, that is a terrific question. I suspect it's somewhat in the eye of the beholder, as well as in the sort of eye of the recycling facility. So, scrap metal, I think sort of broadly, we're talking about things that are largely kind of fall into two different categories that have somewhat of an overlap. You have things that are just tossed out, like an old bicycle that someone puts in the alley, waiting for the trash man to come take it away. Just, you know, in my alleys, for instance, I see people driving very slowly down the alley, seeing if there's any scrap, any junk that could be potentially worth some money. So there's that category. And I think generally, even though it could be a little bit of an eyesore to, you know, see like a homeless person rifling through a dumpster, that kind of thing, rifling through an alley, that is an important part, as a part of society, that it's a way for folks to make money. It's a way for folks to for material not just to end up in a landfill. But then there's this whole other part of scrap, which is stolen scrap. So, for instance, thieves stealing copper wire from a empty property, or air conditioners being stolen from churches, air conditioners being stolen from private residences, wire being stolen from even places like the riverfront. That also kind of falls under the umbrella of scrap. And so two very different types of material that are acquired in two very different ways, one lawfully, one not lawfully. But for the most part, they all sort of make their way to the same place, one of these recycling facilities that pays money for scrap.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the observations you've made, maybe about when this scrapping is happening and who is doing so?
Sure. So, a lot of different folks are in on this. And, you know, the reporting that I focused most on was in this one neighborhood, The Patch, which is sort of in the south of South City. I think it's the southernmost neighborhood in the city. And at least here, this has been a neighborhood that's always been kind of gritty. Like, the grittiness is part of its charm. I think it's a place where someone with just a little bit of money and a vision can buy a piece of property and kind of do something spectacular with it. But recently, there's been folks hauling scrap virtually 24/7, or at least all day. So to answer your question, kind of when this is happening, what really kind of, I think, got neighbors' attention in The Patch was that just virtually from like 9 to 5, sun up to sundown, there would be people hauling scrap, some of which appeared almost obviously stolen, to this one recycling facility, SA Recycling.
Yeah. So the reporting on this, I mean, scrap economy, this is not something that is new mm-hmm. in St. Louis. It also exists in many places outside our region. What was it that compelled you, Ryan, to start looking into what is happening in the city in general?
Yeah. So, no, you're totally right. There's nothing new about the scrap man or the junk man coming through your alley. That's like a tradition as old as time. But, yeah, what really got my attention was there were these folks in this specific neighborhood that said, this thing that's sort of always kind of gone on in the background has just really announced itself recently. It's sort of been turned up to 11. And this was in The Patch. And folks were, as they were sort of seeing more and more scrappers sort of walking their scrap to the SA Recycling facility, at the same time, there was more and more reports and experiences of people having like the coils from their air conditioner stolen or other thefts of property from houses that were empty, but there was some hope they could be rehabbed and sold, that sort of thing. Thefts from construction sites, that sort of thing. So there was sort of an uptick in these property crimes. At the same time, just like anecdotally, people who pay really close attention on the ground in this neighborhood were seeing more and more traffic going to these places where you can sell this scrap material.
So busier than usual.
Busier than usual. A definite uptick starting around, I think, roughly the summer of 2025, and then going full steam until right now.
Mm-hmm. What were public officials and Patch residents telling you?
Yeah, they were very, I mean, I guess frustration. They were voicing their frustration, if you're just going to put a single word on it. I talked to business owners who had pieces of their business, specifically like air conditioners, stolen. So that's a huge hit for them economically. They'd have to shut down for a period while they can do the repairs, and then the repairs are costly. Talking to elected officials, sort of like pieces of like just like the city's infrastructure were going stolen. Like you mentioned in the intro, sort of bolts from park benches. I talked to a different alderman in an adjacent neighborhood who said that there was a bike path that had these brass ornaments, I guess you could call them, that said City of St. Louis, sort of a way to kind of make the spruce up the bike path a little bit. Those went stolen. And that was particularly galling because whoever stole them didn't just put them in their basement. They were almost surely selling them. And they were selling something that had the city's name on it that was almost obviously, you know, stolen. Mm-hmm. So he was just very appalled that someone would not only steal it, but then a facility would accept money for it.
Yeah. In the name of journalism, you did something that has been also like as old as time.
Sure.
And the profession. You went undercover. Why did you do that? And how did you prepare?
Sure. So I was just curious. Basically, what one business owner told me was that this one facility, SA Recycling, was just he said something along the lines of they'll buy anything, and this is really sort of exacerbating the problem of metal getting stolen in our neighborhood. So I wasn't exactly sure how to sort of prove or disprove what he was saying. So what I did was I went to the Home Depot. I bought about $60 worth of copper wire. I very neatly coiled it and then put some orange tags on it. Then we wrote on the orange tags, property of the City of St. Louis. So basically the idea was I would, I wore my shabbiest clothes. I didn't want to draw any attention to myself. I just wanted to be like anyone else selling material to this recycling facility. And the idea was to just try to raise as many red flags about this material as possible, to try to make it look as obviously stolen as those things along the bike path were whenever, you know, they were stolen. So I mixed them in a duffel bag with some old treadmill parts, took them down to SA Recycling, and I truly didn't know. I kept an open mind about all this. I was curious whether or not they would purchase the wire despite it seemingly being obviously stolen. And the results, I guess, were sort of mixed. They were kind of nuanced. One employee, he took a look at it. He's like, oh, man, like this is property of the City of St. Louis. We can't buy this. You know that. So I just said, well, I'll come back without the property tags on them. And he just sort of laughed. But then they bought everything else from me. And I do feel like sort of the guy eyeballing the material is almost by chance that he sort of saw the property tag. So at the very least, it was sort of a very kind of loose system that seemed to be trying to prevent stolen material from being purchased. And then also I went back the very next week, dressed the same everything, and I sold the wire without the tags on it. So it's not like even though I was someone trying to make myself look like someone trafficking in stolen goods, it's not like I was put on a list or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. You said that the first person you took your things to said, you know, we can't take that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, insofar as what is acceptable and what is not, and this person telling you, like, come on, right? This is stuff that we can't take. How many people were in the space that first time you went? And you know, what did it look like inside?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's about, I would say, I don't know, anywhere. I was there for maybe half an hour, roughly, I don't know, maybe 10 to 12 folks doing what I was doing in that time frame. It's not a super quick process. I mean, they weigh the stuff and there's one scale that everyone kind of uses and forms a line. You put the stuff down, it gets weighed. You get this receipt that you take to an ATM and get some cash. But no, it's an interesting spot in there. It looks like a small airplane hangar.
Oh.
And it to use that word again, it just looks like it's filled with junk. There's scrap metal everywhere. There's, you know, pieces from computers, pieces clearly from sort of like more construction type material. It's all sort of loosely sorted into different bins, but it's a place where it seems like, just my own personal opinion, it looks like maybe we're focusing more on quantity rather than sort of quality of material. It looks like a place that's just processing a lot of stuff very, very quickly.
We're talking today with St. Louis Magazine reporter Ryan Krull. Last week, Ryan went undercover to sell scrap metal at a recycling company as part of his investigation into the sale of stolen metal in St. Louis. And one thing that I want to clarify, I understand that the treadmill parts, they were from a treadmill of yours?
Oh, yes. This was not, yeah, nothing I had was actually stolen. Yeah, I just needed some scrap to sort of... To round out my offerings. And yeah, I had an old treadmill in my basement that my wife had actually been trying to get me to disassemble and throw away for some time. So this was the opportunity to do that.
Okay, so double purpose.
Yeah.
Now, something that came out of your reporting, Ryan, involved the kid who did trade you your treadmill parts and that Home Depot copper wire for a total of $37.
Yes.
So what is it that happened, you know, and what makes this sort of complicated?
Yeah, so this, I try to never run away from complication in a story. And yeah, complicated is the right word. So basically, I sort of suspected that he had a sort of soft spot for me and the other down on their luck types that were bringing this stuff in. Because he gave me $32 for these pieces of an old treadmill. And I briefly thought to myself, wow, maybe I should sort of throw my hat into the scrapping game. That's way more money than I was expecting for just this few pieces of a treadmill. Anyway, whenever I eventually had to reach out to SA Recycling for comment, get their side of the story, let them know what the neighborhood was saying, and see what they had to say for themselves. And of course, as part of that email, I included, well, yeah, here's the specific experience I had where, you know, it seemed almost sort of by chance that you all rejected the copper wire that said property of the city of St. Louis on it. And what that triggered, though, at SA Recycling was they basically audited all of this one employee's interactions with other customers. And what they found, from what I understand, was not only had he overpaid me for my treadmill, but he had sort of routinely been overpaying people to, quote, an insane level for their scrap, seemingly out of just feeling like these folks could use the extra cash. Mm-hmm. So the complication comes in the fact that on the one hand, that is like a sort of empathetic, I guess you could say, maybe even noble thing to do. But on the other hand, he's also just basically stealing from his employer at that point. That's money that sort of rightfully belongs to SA Recycling, legally speaking. And also there's a good chance that it's exactly this type of, you know, juicing up the market for these stolen materials in that specific area. Perhaps it's not that much of a leap of logic to think maybe that's why we're seeing so many thefts in that specific area, because there's this sort of anomaly of this one employee that makes scrap metal even more valuable there as opposed to elsewhere in the city. So yeah, he ultimately was fired after I inquired about what happened. And I did, at first I felt really bad about that, but then someone pointed out, well, you know, he was perhaps making the problem that sent you there in the first place, he was perhaps making that problem even worse. So now I have somewhat conflicted emotions about it.
Yeah. Now, one thing I'm wondering about is SA Recycling and whether they addressed the issue of stolen scrap or, you know, any of the other questions that you presented to them.
Yeah. So they basically said that they said flat out that they don't want to buy stolen scrap. And on their website, they say that they have someone at every sort of gate checking to sort through material to see if it's, make sure it's all legit. I didn't personally witness that firsthand all that much. It seemed much more sort of kind of loosey-goosey compared to what the situation they say is happening at these facilities on their own websites. But yeah, they said that basically they don't want to buy stolen scrap. But then I talked to like sort of regional manager, and he basically said something along the lines of, we can't be sort of judge and jury about what's stolen. Unless it looks obviously stolen, we're gonna buy it. And that I respected the sort of the honesty of that statement. He's sort of admitting something that I think is probably true, that it probably is very hard in a lot of cases to know whether or not something is stolen or not. Mm-hmm. And I guess one other sort of caveat to that is the police did do their own sort of undercover operation at this very facility last summer, and where they partnered, I think it was with AT&T, to have an undercover agent sell, it was like, I think it was 150 pounds of you know, purport, like seemingly stolen wire. Mm-hmm. And in that case, SA purchased it, and the police said that, to their minds, they didn't do sort of due diligence about determining whether or not this stuff was stolen. So they executed a search warrant. But ultimately, sort of much to the neighborhood's chagrin, no criminal charges were ever brought.
Mm-hmm. The Patch area, that neighborhood in South City, isn't the only place where, you know, copper wiring and metal is being stolen and where it's being sold. There's more than one SA recycling in the region. But I want to get to what you had mentioned regarding the police, mm-hmm. because last week, St. Louis Metropolitan Police Chief Robert Tracy, he spoke at a town hall, and the gathering was actually triggered by metal thefts that have targeted churches. Mm-hmm. And Tracy said that problems with scrap metal theft are affecting cities across the country.
We have to start speaking to these scrap metal places. Are you taking this in? You're contributing to this issue when you're taking stolen property. But we're going to try to get help from other areas, from maybe federal regulatory authorities, to take a look at some of these things. And you know what? We are going to come look at you, and you're contributing to this because there's a demand that you're doing. And we want to see, hey, maybe you need to change your business model, because what you're doing is hurting the community, and especially hurting houses of worship that are the anchors of our community. And they're going to lose people if they can't have the right resources, heating and cooling in them. And you know that alarms me. And so we really got to get ahead of this. There's things that we're doing, but I think having these meetings and shining light on it, everybody that might be in that chain that might be contributing this, we want to put on notice.
That was St. Louis City Police Chief Michael Tracy. He spoke to STLPR reporter Chad Davis on Friday after a town hall, Robert Tracy, that is. He spoke with Chad Davis, STLPR reporter, on Friday after a town hall meeting. What is your reaction, Ryan, to what we've just heard?
Yeah, a lot of things sort of strike a chord with me. One is just how prevalent this is all over town. Yeah, I focus specifically on the Patch, but yeah, churches in North City, the riverfront. This is not a St. Louis specific problem, and it's certainly not confined to any one specific area of St. Louis either. And yeah, the thing about the federal authorities, that's very real as well. I talked to U.S. Attorney Tom Albus, who's like the highest federal law enforcement guy in this region. And he said, yeah, this is definitely something that I think is important. He said that his office had sent letters to virtually all the scrapyards in the area, just effectively letting them know that the feds are watching. They weren't accusing anyone specifically of anything, but just letting these operations know that they're sort of under some level of scrutiny. They're on notice. And then, yeah, he also said that federal law enforcement is interested in helping out the St. Louis City Police on this specifically, and that they just need – federal law enforcement just needs, I think he used the term, a hook to get in to sort of make it a federal matter. So he specifically was talking about copper theft from the Eads Bridge. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, if someone gets their air conditioner stolen, that's not – like the FBI is not going to show up for that. But if wire is being stolen from infrastructure that facilitates, you know, interstate commerce between Missouri and Illinois, that's absolutely something that the feds could be involved in. And yeah, he seems sort of as on it as anyone.
Mm-hmm. And last week also, Ryan, you reported that federal prosecutors are now working with the city of St. Louis on the issue of scrap thefts on the riverfront. Mm-hmm. And thefts are actually happening inside the national park that contains the Gateway Arch. So what does that mean? You know, are scrappers like targeting the arch? Is this like, what is happening here?
Sure. So it's there's all this wire. You know, there's a lot of lights down there on the riverfront. So there's the along Lenore K. Sullivan. There's all of this wiring that sort of provides power to these sort of very strong lights that make the place sort of, you know, look pretty at night. And then there's lighting along the Eads Bridge as well. And actually, the thefts are happening just outside of the national park, like literally feet, you know, away. And up until recently, there was a situation where the national park rangers who police that specific park, whenever there was like a property crime, they would basically just call the police and sort of say, hey, this is what we're observing. And then the police would get someone out there. Now, the problem is that kind of creates a lag. And oftentimes by the time the police got there, the thief would already have absconded with the copper. So one of the things that came out of this meeting that the U.S. attorney called last month was that the National Park Rangers and the police are sort of refining this memorandum of understanding they have, wherein the park rangers would be able to intervene directly whenever they see property crimes rather than just, you know, calling 911 like everyone else. So that seems like a step in the right direction. Bi-State Transit also has a heavy presence down there because there's a Metrolink stop. They're sort of figuring out what they can do to sort of help with their resources. So this seems like a situation where you sort of, you can't have these silos, right? Even the riverfront has a lot of different sort of stakeholders, people with different jurisdictions. I think the idea is to sort of dissolve some of those barriers and just try to kind of make the sum of the law enforcement down there greater than the sum of its parts. Mm.
Ryan Krull is a staff reporter at St. Louis Magazine. Ryan, thank you so much for coming in to talk with us today.
Hey, thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.